You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program, and my name is Nicholas. We're going through the Gospel of Matthew, and when I left off, I was thinking about a man who recently, somewhat renowned as a Christian, a musician, and a singing artist, came out and proclaimed that he was a homosexual, and that he was born that way, and he's fallen into some corporate church which pampers to this whole idea that people are born this way. It's been verified by this genome project, that there is no genetic cause. There is no homosexual gene, so we know that that's a fallacy. It's a comfortable lie for those who want to obey their flesh rather than obey the Heavenly Father and His law. And what a grave error to fall into. And it makes you wonder about this man who for 30 years has been married and had, you know, four children, and suddenly leaves his wife and decides that he was born a homosexual and he can't deny it any longer. Well, that's a dire warning for all of us. I'm not saying that just because someone proclaims, takes on the vocation of singing in the Christian genre of music and does a really good job of it, besides the fact, were they really ever in his kingdom? What's going on there? Was there a secret sin, a secret life going on all the time? Did they not deal with this temptation properly in their life so that they totally fell into it? I would say this is a case of definitely not enduring till the end. And homosexuality is not a least commandment. And it's a warning, I guess, to all of us that you can't let these things slide in your life. You can't allow the practice of these temptations, pornography, and the things of the world that we're constantly assailed with on the internet and through emails and on the television. We cannot allow these things to be practiced. We must repent immediately. We need to practice repentance continually, and we should be afraid if we don't. If you're allowing some secret hidden sin in your life, know that it can swallow you whole. And the pride that says, I can control it. Well, you've lost control already if you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to convict you of that sin and reaching to the point where you repent. I don't care what the sin is, but apparently we're talking about a particular man here who has fallen into that, and there are other men. And I've seen other men of renown, fall into sin like that and make a public repentance with tears. And may our Heavenly Father have mercy on them, and may that repentance be real, and may it be continual in your life. Because you know what? All of those things that have taken a hold of us in the past, all of those things that we practiced when we walked with the children of disobedience in the world before we came out of spiritual Sodom in Egypt, we'll always be tempted with those things one time or another throughout our life. But as we practice repentance, as we allow the Holy Spirit, His Holy Spirit, to write His law upon our hearts, as we allow Him in that way to renew our minds, it becomes easier. And we stick to the plow and we practice not looking back. When we're tempted with these things, we aren't going to turn back. We're going to go look straight on, and we're going to repent immediately if that's what needs to be. If we fall down, we're going to reach up to the Father's hand and say, you know, drag me if you have to, but I'm not letting go of your hand. What I did was wrong. Hold me up. I need your strength, Father. I repent. Write your law in my heart. There's nothing that I desire than to never, ever sin or do anything that displeases you again in my life. Heavenly Father, teach me obedience. And I say, be merciful and gentle with me at the same time, so that I don't fall into sin that will destroy my life, my family, and take many people down with me. Keep me on my feet, Father, even if you have to drag me, Keep me upright in your eyes and help me to hate sin and to hate anything that displeases you. That's my prayer for my life, and let it be your prayer too. And allow His Holy Spirit to work in your life and convict you of sin. Don't dwell on it. Don't think, well, I can do it a little bit, because then you've already fallen. That's called pride. That's thinking you can handle it. You can't handle it. You can't handle sin without Him. And the way He handles it, if you allow Him, is immediate repentance, immediate recognition that what you're doing is wrong and what He wants you to do is right. You repent. You allow Him to write His law upon your heart. He becomes your God, and you become His man or His woman or His boy or His girl. That's what it's all about. And when that's going on in your life, when you have that continual repentance process happening in your life on a daily basis, because yes, that's what it takes. I'm here to testify personally that is what it takes. I have not reached any state of sinless perfection myself. I continually have to fight that good fight. I have to endure till the end. And I will. That's the commitment I've made to myself. And by the power of His Holy Spirit, I will. And I pray the same for you if you're listening to my voice. If you hear this message, I pray that for you, that you will. Let's jump back into our text here. For verily I say to you, okay, we read that, except your righteousness shall exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. They thought they could handle it. They thought they could handle sin. But it was all on the surface. All their righteousness was their own. It was filthy rags. So our righteousness has to exceed that. And that's what I've been talking about. How to have your righteousness, really His righteousness, imputed to you to exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. They walked in their own righteousness. They did what they did to be seen of men. They were satisfied with that, like the scribes, the Pharisees, and the hypocrites of today. Okay. Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, and chapter 5 and verse 23. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. If your brother has aught against you, if you've offended someone in the past, and this brings something. It brings several instances to my mind right away where I have aught against my brother. Is there something wrong with having aught against your brother? Yeah, I have something against several brothers. And some of them, I'm not even sure they're brothers, because I believe that they just have the cloak of Christianity. And some, not so, but, they've done a great offense in their life, and they practice things that I find very offensive. And I let them know that I have aught against you, and they should know, but a lot of times they don't want to hear it. I'm not going to go into particulars, but I saw a man who came to the congregation a couple months ago, and I'd never seen him in the congregation there before, but I used to have an association with this man, and he supposedly is a Christian man, and he showed up in the congregation, and I have aught against him because I believe that he stole the property that was dedicated by the people of God to the work of God, and he enriched himself to the tune of millions of dollars thereby. And so I have aught against this man, because he not only did he steal at that time, but he also stole a great amount of my labor and property and the labor and property of others who did the same type of thing, who dedicated money and time to a project that was dedicated to our Heavenly Father, the work and a mission of our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he stole that property. So I have aught against him. Anyway, he showed up at the congregation, and he got up before the congregation, and he said some words, and I could tell by his words that he had not repented or even recognized that the things that he did was wrong. And he told me once that everything he did was legal. That's what he told me. And I've discussed legal and lawful because, yeah, you can legally steal from people. Did you know that? That's right. Because, and you can legally kill your child before it's born. But that's not lawful. And if you kill my child before it's born, because a woman could kill your child, your wife could go out and legally kill your child before it's born, would you have aught against her? And what if she never repents? Say, you know, I can do that because it was legal. Therefore, I'm justified. Is she justified before God? She may be justified before man, but she's not justified before God, and I have aught against her. Can I forgive her? Well, I don't have the power to forgive her. You know, and a lot of people talk about, well, you need to forgive them. Well, what if they've never repented? How can you forgive someone who's never repented? So I have aught against them. Do I hold a grudge? Do I want revenge? No. Now, that would be wrong for me to seek revenge, but I just turn them over to the Lord, and he can deal with them. He will judge them. He will recompense them, and I pray for them, and I hope that they will repent, because I don't want even those people that I have aught against, I don't want them to burn in hell forever. I don't wish that on anybody. We're talking about something that's going to last forever, and to me, that's fairly important. So I let that brother, he know, or supposed brother, I can't judge that because, you know, by his works, leads me to believe that he's not really walking in the kingdom of our Heavenly Father. That's what I would believe by his works, that he's not really there, that he's not part of that holy nation. And it's my job as having aught against him to let him know that. It's not that I haven't forgiven him, because it's not my place to forgive him. Now, if he came to me and he said, can you forgive me, brother? Can you forgive me for what I did for you? Then I am bound by the word of God to forgive him. Absolutely. And I would forgive him. You see the difference there? I'm drawing a fine distinction here. I spent a lot of time meditating on this and looking into God's law about this issue of forgiveness. Like there are people who tell me, well, you need to forgive your ex-wife. What, my ex-wife? Well, my former, one of my first wives, because I've been married 3 times, my first 2 wives were disobedient, and they're living in sin and adultery. And my 3rd wife died, and she was a good woman. She would have stayed with me till the end. Well, which she did. It's just the end came a little sooner than we thought it would. But beside the point are my 1st 2 wives, living in continual adultery. And some people say, well, you need to forgive them. Well, I don't have the power to forgive them. It's not my place. Now, if they come to me and they ask me forgiveness, and if you go to the illustrations that Yahshua drew, there were men coming and they were not forgiving when they were asked to forgive debts or whatever. Well, then you're obligated. You know, it's like the banker out there in the street says, can you spare a dollar? Well, sure. You know, I'm glad you didn't ask me for 10, because I perhaps would have been under an obligation to give you 10, because it says give to them that ask. Yeah. But there, I'm required to forgive when someone asks for forgiveness. But beyond that, I'm not required to forgive because they haven't repented. I can't go to someone and say, oh, well, I've forgiven you for what you did. Well, I don't want your forgiveness. Well, I'm casting pearls before swine. I'm giving that which is holy to dogs. How can I do that? I have aught against them until they repent. And it's my prayer that they do repent. It's my prayer that they do come to me someday, although it's not necessary. that they come to me and acknowledge that what they did was wrong, that they stole or committed adultery or whatever they did. But it's more important that they go to the Heavenly Father and they acknowledge their sin. And if they do that, and they make it a public proclamation of that, if they acknowledge Him, then I would definitely forgive them. But like I said, without repentance, there is no forgiveness. So how can I be held to a higher standard than God Almighty? Well, I don't think I can, because they're not going to enjoy eternal life. The application of His blood is not going to be made to their sins if they do not repent. So I let that man know that I had aught against him because he came to me. Now, I didn't tell him anything. I pretty much tried to avoid the whole situation. Really wanted nothing to do with him. After all, this man stole a great deal of money and property from God Almighty, and he stole from me personally. And he was there, and I was going for my dinner plate because we have a community supper after the service there, and he said, I want to shake your hand. And I guess he was going to congratulate me for perhaps the good works or whatever was going through, that I've been doing through the years since our association. And I just told him, I said, I have to eat. So I'm not going to shake your hand, because then I'd have to wash my hands again. You think I let him know that I had aught against him by not shaking his hand? I think I certainly did. Now, if he was a godly man, he would have recognized, this man has aught against me. I'm going to go check it out. I'm going to go talk to this man, and I'm going to make it right first before I go and bring my offering to the Heavenly Father. And that's the point of that whole dialogue there. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. And, my assumption has to be, because that man hasn't come to me yet, to be reconciled, that he has not gone before the altar of God. And to go before the altar of God, to bring gifts to our Heavenly Father, to enter into His throne room, well, you have to be in His kingdom, don't you? So I hope that illustration helps with that. Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. So, and with that works both ways. This is the word of God. It cuts both ways. If anyone has aught against me, please come to me and let us be reconciled in whatever manner we can. If we have to go call together some brothers to judge between us, let us be reconciled by that way in His kingdom and by His word. But I really do seek that. And that's why it's right to let someone know if you have aught against them, so that if they go before the altar of our Heavenly Father and bring gifts or works, whatever their gift is, to Him, and there the Holy Spirit says, hey, go make this right first, then bring your gift. And He'll do it. So, if anyone has aught against me, please come to me, one way or another, and let's make it right. Let's be reconciled, because that's what we're called to do. We're called to love one another, and by this, they will know that we love God, because we love one another. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Thine adversary. Agree with thine adversary quickly. And who is the adversary? Well, the adversary is the devil, of course. And not always our adversary, but I could draw another illustration. There are a lot of people, they have been doing business with the adversary in contracts. They've volunteered. You know, it's like the church is joining the state, and there's been several notable cases where they realized that they had joined the adversary and they decided to rebel against their agreement with the adversary, and the adversary came in and took all the property of the church because the adversary had agreement saying that the property really belonged to the state, And they didn't make an agreement and said, okay, you know, let's look into the law of the adversary and find out if there's a way out that we can keep the property and get out. Because, you know, if you have an agreement, well, you look into the law of the agreement. If you want to break the agreement, you don't just rebel against the agreement, because that's where you get trouble. And that's where a lot of people get into trouble with the IRS. And, well, that's basically, that was the adversarial case that I drew a reference to when the church joins the state and they wanted to rebel against the state. Well, the state, the IRS came in and said, why aren't you filling out your forms you agreed to when you contracted with the state? And if you don't do that, well, the state owns the property, because when you got a state corporation status, you agreed that you were getting property for the state. You also agreed that if the state didn't like what you were doing, they could take that property that belongs to them and they could give it to someone else who does agree, who will conform to the image of the state. How about that? And that goes for the same. You know, so we have this video, the government takeover of the church, and that's what it's all about. It's all about the church-state incorporation issue. But, you know, people incorporate with the state, too, on an individual basis. That's right. That's what you do. When you go down, or someone went down and signed you up, and you didn't object when you became of age to that contract, and you went and acted and performed on it, you agreed to it, to the incorporation with the state, and it's the same type of thing. You get a 9-digit number, just like the corporate state churches do, and you say that, okay, everything I have is yours, you just take care of me. When I get old, or if I become infirm, or whatever, I will not forget your benefits. I will draw your benefits when the time comes, according to the rules of the benefits, which agreement I signed, and which says you can change the rules at any time, and that goes for the state incorporation issue, as well as the personal individual incorporation issue. When you sign that agreement, you're saying they can change the rules at any time, and you will comply. Well, there is a way out. You just have to look into the law of the agreement and the laws that govern the agreement and get out of it. Agree with thine adversary quickly. Okay, and that's where I'm going with it. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him. And if you have the number, if you have the mark of the beast, whether you're a state corporation or an individual, you need to agree with your adversary quickly. You have to use his law to get out of the agreement, and there are ways. Yes, they have some wonderful laws that allow you to get out, because involuntary servitude is part of their law. There shall be no involuntary servitude. You also have religious liberty, and the law, if the law of your religion says that you cannot engage in these agreements with the beast state, then you have a way out. Their law provides for you. So be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. And it looks like that's where we're going to have to leave off today. So we'll probably pick up and expand on that next time on Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas. Visit my website, crosstheborder.org. And please do email me. Let me know you're listening. And I hope that you're being edified. I pray that you're being edified by these broadcasts.